this is what it feels like to have jet lag.
So it's 2 a.m. in the morning for you?
It's 1 a.m. I went to sleep at 11. You know, I set my alarm for 12:45. Now I'm up. It's just like jet lag. It's exciting.
Oh, goodness. But thanks for joining. Much appreciated.
Okay, I can get another 3 or 4 hours sleep. I don't have a meeting until 7:30 tomorrow.
Goodness. Grace, do you know whether Mathieu is already on the line?
No, I don't know if Mathieu is on the line.
Thomas, this is Bart.
Hey, Bart.
I've seen your conversations with Mathieu. Before he's really appointed, but I'd say it's hopefully a formality, it needs to go through the CCNSO council process.
Mm-hmm.
But that shouldn't take too much time.
But do you know whether he's going to join this afternoon or today's call?
He intended to join because he's a member anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he mentioned to me as well earlier
yeah.
when we spoke. But it's 5 minutes past the hour, so I suggest that we kick this
Let's
off,
start.
And can I ask you to start the recording and do roll call, please?
All right, I've started the recording. Everyone, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Enhancing ICANN Accountability Drafting Team meeting. This is our second meeting on Monday, October 27th at 1600 UTC. On the call today, we have Athena, Avery, Becky, David, Dina, Keith, Matthew, Thomas, and Tijani. And then for staff, we have Bart, Marika, Adam, and myself. Over to you, Thomas.
Thanks so much, Grace, and welcome, everybody. I'd just like to share a good piece of information with you, and that is that most likely Mathieu Weil will be the co-chair of this drafting team. As Bart mentioned earlier, there's a formality required with the CCNSO Council, but hopefully that's not going to be an issue. So I hope that Mathieu will join momentarily, and we spoke
and
earlier today. What's that?
That was Mathieu.
Mathieu speaking.
Hello, Mathieu. Welcome to this call. I've just mentioned to the group that you will most likely be the co-chair appointed by the CCNSO Council, but that this is subject to approval by the CCNSO Council. So welcome to you. Mathieu, would you like to make any opening remarks?
Probably just to apologize for missing last week's call. And thank everyone for the work that's already well underway, and happy to help steer this drafting team to a swift and efficient conclusion. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mathieu. Talking about swiftness of this exercise, let me just briefly recap that the intention is to have a draft, at least the first working draft, ready by the motion and documents deadline for the CCNS, for the GNSO, which is going to be the 3rd of November, so that the councillors are being provided with a draft. This is a 10-day period prior to the call, so the GNSO call is going to take place on the 13th. The next CCNSO call is going to be on the 20th with a little bit more flexibility on the side of the CCNSO. So we're trying to get something done by the 3rd, and should we not have a final result by then, that at least we should strive for submitting an interim result, which we're going to tweak in the subsequent days for the GNSO and the respective GNSO groups to review. And certainly, with a little bit of delay, if need be, we can also submit that to the CCNSO. So time is of essence, which is why we have called for another two-hour call at such short notice. Hopefully, we're not going to use all the time, but we felt it was appropriate to reserve at least a two-hour time slot in case our deliberations on the phone require that time. You will recall that during our last call, we've asked the participants of this drafting team sort of as homework to take a look at the draft charter, which you can find in the Adobe Connect now, and provide us with language that you deem appropriate. We have identified specifically two areas in which the whole group should work, and that's number one, a review of the list of issues that has been identified during the recently held public comment period on accountability, so that we could come up with a non-exhaustive list of questions to be worked on by the working group. And I guess that's very important to mention, that this list is not exhaustive, but it should help the cross-community working group to structure its work based on the public comment received. And the second task was to make an attempt to maybe allocate the issues that have been identified to either Workstream 1 or Workstream 2 or both. I have not seen any response on the list that provides input specifically to that. So we will discuss that as we continue with our conversation. But that's just a reminder for everybody to take a look at that list. I think we should build on what the community has provided already, because, as you know, this is an effort that should be community-driven and based on the bottom-up multi-stakeholder model. Also, we've identified a few tasks where individuals wanted to do some drafting, and we've received a couple of responses so far, but nonetheless, the document is not yet complete, so we still need to focus on some areas where input from individuals but also from the whole group might be required. I would suggest that we continue reviewing the draft charter and maybe go through it from top to bottom. But before we do so, I'd like to ask Marika, I'm not sure whether Marika is back on the line, to give us a brief recap of the changes that she has made to the document. I guess that will help those that didn't have the time to look at the recent emails that came to the list today to better navigate their way through the draft as we have it in front of us now.
Thanks, Thomas. So this is Marika. I'm back online, and hopefully you can hear me better now. So the version you actually see on your screen is the one that I sent this morning, which then was edited by Matthew and subsequently by Keith, and then David also sent some comments, which I think I managed to merge into this latest version that came relatively short before this call. I hope nothing got left out. So if there is anything left out, please feel free to point that out. So, but basically, going back to the version I sent to you earlier this morning, to facilitate your review, what I did is basically accept all the red line changes from the last version, which was the one that was circulated last Thursday, so it becomes easier to see what are the changes that were made in this version. And just very briefly walking through those, the first change that was made was in the problem statement. I inserted there the language that was suggested by Leon Sanchez on the mailing list. I believe that email came in yesterday, so that is reflected in red line. As I said, now you'll see more colors in here as other people have already started contributing proposed edits as well as comments here. But with regards to the changes I made in the initial version, I don't believe there was anything more in this specific section. and I think included a link here in the disappear section. I made some updates to reflect some of, I think, leftover language that was there, where I was still speaking about the ICG, where it should be the board, or ICG in with the specific respect to stream one, as we discussed at the last meeting. One section I added was in relation to the statements of interest provided. And again, I think as I explained in my email, it's a suggestion that I've added here to reflect that some people seem less comfortable or would prefer not to fill in the template that we use for GNSO statements of interest. So an alternative approach would be here for people just to provide a very short bio about themselves, where at a minimum the suggestion is that they would provide their name, whether they're actually representing a certain organization or company, and what is their primary country of residence, as that will hopefully create a kind of level playing field and people know who they're representing, where they're participating from. And I think that's the main objective of the statement of interest in any case. Then there were some small changes to the working relationship, basically, again, reflecting the ICANN board approval as part of outcomes of this process, as well as coordination with ICG in relation to Workstream 1. Then the main changes were made to the section on expert advisors. As you see, there were certain suggestions that Mathieu had made to the list, and I added some of that to reflect, I think, some of the aspects, as pointed out in the email, for example, that the public expert group, which is identifying the advisors, will cease to exist once they've actually completed their task, so they may not be able to serve as an interface for this group. So I've tried to reflect that in the comments, and again, if I didn't accurately reflect the input that was received, please let me know. Similarly, also the section on appointment of an ATRT to pass expert, and one addition I made there, because it points out as well that an ATRT expert would not participate in consensus call unless an ATRT expert is also selected as a member of one of the chartering organizations, as we, of course, have several communities. Participants and even I think members on this call who have participated in one of the previous ATRT 2 efforts. And then in the decision-making methodologies, I've updated there some of the proposals, a language that I think we agreed to at the last call, as well as clarifying in the final proposal section that, of course, the board that needs to be kept up to date in relation to the work that has been taken on in this regard, as proposals coming out of this process will go to the board for approval. And then we'll still need to include the link to that. And I think those are basically the main changes I made to the document. And as I said, the other changes in here, which I presume we'll go through now, are the ones that were made by, I think, Matthew, Keith, and David.
Thanks so much, Marika. That's very helpful. Would you be as kind as to bring up the draft charter again in the Adobe Connect?
Yep. Sorry, I see that my screen connection got lost. Let me share my screen again. You should have it back now.
Excellent, because I would suggest that we go through the edits that have been made and ask the drafting team members to come up with comments or other suggestions for that, for the wording. So, Marika, you're saying the upload is on its way?
It doesn't, Rick. I think you should already be able to see it. Or Grace is telling me the screen is still black.
Mine
yeah,
is black.
Black here, too. By the way, this is Avery. If I can mention up front, I had some homework to do. I had planned to do it on the plane. I apologize. I forgot. I could do it on the plane. I jotted down some notes on it, so when it comes to my deliverables, I can talk about them. I apologize for not having sent them. It's been a very hectic week.
Thanks, Avery. Much appreciated. And no worries. I think we will discuss what you've jotted down, and then we'll incorporate that into the next draft.
Yeah, and this is Rick. I'm just logging back into Adobe Connect because it seems to be hung on this side. So 1 second.
Okay. So while we're waiting for the Adobe to show the draft charter, I'd like to hand over to Mathieu for a moment because Mathieu, you wanted to suggest that we maybe speak a little bit to the definition of accountability in the charter.
Yes, thank you, Thomas. Yes, indeed. When I have the privilege of basically looking at the charter with new eyes, having not participated last week. And one of the questions I had when I read this was whether we would benefit from a greater clarity about what we mean by accountability in order to provide clearer guidance to the CCWG. In my opinion, a good definition from accountability stems from the Net Mundial multi-stakeholder statement. And I wondered whether how the group would feel about, in the problem statement, for instance, inserting a definition from Net for accountability so that we spare the CCWG the work to define it later on. So this was one comment I had on the general document, and I think it may be an overarching comment upon which I think it would be great to have your various reactions and feedbacks.
Thanks, Mathieu. And let me ask the group for instant reactions to that suggestion.
This is Becky. I agree with Mathieu. We've used that definition in the CCNSO, and it seems to be pretty clear.
Excellent, Becky. Thanks. Any further comments?
Yeah, this is Marika. Could someone maybe post that definition, or do we already have it somewhere so I can actually insert it where you would like to see it?
I'm looking for it now, Marika.
That's excellent. So let me just check whether there are any further comments or objection against having a definition of the term accountability in here. And Adam has already posted the definition in the chat. And further to that, should we leave it with this definition that has just been provided, or would you like to go more in detail in terms of accountability towards whom and other questions that will have to be answered subsequently? So let me attempt to get feedback from the group by rephrasing the question. So we can, I understand that we do want to have a definition of accountability in the problem statement, I guess. And then the question is whether we want to flesh that out a little bit further to give some guidance in terms of what exactly needs to be done in this area. Or shall we leave that open? Tijani.
Thank you, Thomas. Tijani speaking. I don't think that we have to go further than that. It's enough to fit in the problem statement, I think. But in the scope, we are detailing more and we are giving we are precising the mission of the group.
Thanks, Tijani. David?
Yes, I was just going to say I support the inclusion of it. I think we, as there's going on in the chat, we can delete the second sentence and support the text, that first sentence as is.
Great, David. Thank you. So I would then like to move to the problem statement as such, you know, now that we've discussed the definitions question, is there any further comment on the problem statement? Athena. Athena, it's your turn. Maybe you're on mute. Athena, we can't hear you. So let me move to David first and then go back to Athena.
Could we scroll down a bit so we can see the highlighted paragraph in its entirety?
Marika, I guess that's one for you to answer.
Yes, I'm actually doing so, but I'm wondering if you're actually trying to see what you're seeing. But
it stops at.
Now
we're seeing nothing.
All right, let me try again. I'm not really sure what's creating the issues. Let me try again. I'll send you the mailing list as well now, the document that I'm looking at, so at least people can follow along there while I try to sort out.
Just as a general matter, I'm going to reiterate what my comment was in the document that I circulated, just before the call. But I don't think we want to break this down based on IANA accountability and then non-IANA accountability. I think what we want to focus on is pre-transition and post-transition accountability.
I guess that's an important point to discuss. Let me go to Athena and Matthew first, and I see the queue is filling up. Tijani also, and then I think we should discuss this fundamental question because there have been some edits surrounding that. So I think the group is still not clear about the scope of what's been called Workstream 1 and Workstream 2. So that's a good question, and we'll get back to that momentarily. Athena.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you very much. So thank you very much for this work of adding a little bit of words into the problem statement. I have a question about its second sentence of the addition, right? From the taking into account until the end. I read here that on the one hand, there is the issue of enhancing ICANN's accountability with regards to management and execution of IANA function. On the other hand, the issue of ICANN's accountability to its SOs plus ACs. Being the main difference between these two types of accountability, this is something I don't really understand, like the difference as it is defined in this sentence. I don't see how this is, maybe someone can elaborate this to me. I would suggest to remove this this bit or to have this a little bit more elaborated, if possible. Thank you.
Thanks, Athena. I think that goes back to the very question of what is the scope of Workstream 1 and what's the scope of Workstream 2. So let me go to Matthew and Tijani, and then we open up that question for the whole group. Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Thomas. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
I have a similar concern, but actually I'd like to second what David suggested. I think that there are going to be – I don't think that we want to put parameters on what the working group decide should be in Workstream 1 or Workstream 2. And I would prefer the pre what needs to be done for the IANA transition and what needs to come after the IANA transition, the pre and post, because there may well be issues related to the organizational structure and accountability mechanisms in the organizational structure that are relevant to Workstream 1. Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew. Tijani?
Thank you so much. It was clear for me last week the scope of Workstream 1 and Workstream 2, the separation between the two streams. But after reading this and after hearing some speaking about that, I am now more confused about that. I think that we have to refer to the updated or reviewed process that was sent by ICANN, and it is inside. It is there, so we don't have to reinvent something. We don't have to other things. So the two streams are the stream related to the transition and the other things of accountability of ICANN. Thank you.
Thanks, Tijani. And I have previously announced that I'd like to open up this very question for the whole group. So, Keith, if you want to speak to this, that's perfectly okay. If you have an unrelated question, I'd like you to maybe defer that until such time when we've discussed this question of the demarcation between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2. Keith.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. Keith Drazik. So I think specifically regarding the language that we're talking about that was added, there's a reference to the IANA functions accountability or accountability that is specific to the performance of the IANA functions. And we should all be clear that that is a work stream being dealt with by another cross-community working group. That is really separate. So when we talk about if there's any reference to the IANA functions and anything like SLAs or accountability for the performance of those functions, that's really not the job of this group. The group that we're working on, the CCWG on accountability, is going to be focused on the accountability reforms and the accountability mechanisms that are made necessary by NTIA's disengagement from its legacy role as the counterparty to the IANA functions contract. So in other words, what is it that we as a community need to have in place to make sure that ICANN is accountable to us now and in the future with the fact that NTIA is going away from its legacy role and is in effect not providing the backstop mechanism that it has in the past and to date. So I'm concerned about the reference to the IANA functions specifically in the paragraph that we were just discussing, but then I think it does make sense for us to get into the discussion of sort of the Workstream 1 and Workstream 2. So I'll stop there. Thanks.
But Keith, since you're a member of the ICG as well, let me ask you a follow-up question. And I have to admit that when reading the draft charter in its latest version and looking at the next page where the last edit or the latest edit under Workstream 1 was that this would comprise the ensuring that the whole ICANN across all of its function remains accountable to the community in the absence of the historical contractual relationship with the U.S. government. So I think I share the uncertainty of other drafting team members as to what the delineation between what we're discussing here is, between the two work streams itself, and also between what the other cross-community working group is dealing with. So maybe you can give us an example of what the CCWG on the IANA stewardship transition is taking or might take into account as accountability measures, and then also give an example for Workstream 1 or Workstream 2 if you can.
Sure, Thomas. Thanks. I'll try my best. So I think, for example, the cross-community working group on the IANA transition, for example, the naming community, and there's going to be three groups in that involved, you know, in the ICG input, naming, numbering, and protocol parameters. But the naming community's community working group on the IANA transition will be focused on identifying sort of things like SLAs, service level agreements, that would have enforceable mechanisms to ensure that ICANN, if ICANN is the one that continues operating the IANA functions, meets its obligations and meets its service level delivery obligations to its customers. The IANA customers, in this sense, being the GTLD and CCTLD registries, who would interact with IANA in terms of delegations, changes to contact information, things like that. Fairly administrative and maybe some technical interaction. And so the key for that group will be to come up with service-level agreements and mechanisms that will ensure that ICANN and IANA provide acceptable and expected levels of service for those specific functions. So that's the IANA transition community working group's role. The role of this group, the accountability working group, will be to focus on accountability reforms and mechanisms that are required, noting that NTIA is not going to be around any longer to provide the backstop with the threat of a possible rebid of the IANA functions to another operator other than ICANN. And so within that, there are two components. There are two work streams within this group. One is to focus on the things that are necessary before the transition takes place. And the second work stream is for anything that might take place after the transition or possibly could be handled through existing community processes like ATRT. So I hope that provides some examples and maybe clarifies where I see the distinctions or the delineations. Happy to answer any further questions. I see there's some other hands in chat.
Thanks, Keith. Athena.
Oh, yes. Hi, can you hear me? Good. I can see Keith's point, and I must say I also agree to that. It is important that the work of the CCWG does not interfere with, let's say, the freedom of its community to present their own proposals to the ICG. So I think that the CCWG should not really specify the way in which the different communities will interact with ICANN. As Keith mentioned, each group is looking into having different SLAs with regards to their relationship with ICANN. And I think the CCWG here should rather ensure that the ICANN will comply with what the community decide and will make sure that ICANN has, you know, this accountability towards this community. About work stream one, I believe that this should cover issues related to the scope of the ICANN's role with regards to the IANA function. This should be also deliverable within this deadline for the IANA transition. Having said that, the working group can also identify broader accountability issues, but also place them on working stream 2 so that this can be addressed at a later stage. Thank you.
Thanks, Athena.
Hi, yes, this is Aubrey speaking. I think there's a couple, and one part I think I agree with what Athena said is that the ICG really should not be determining what it is or what is not something that's considered in this accountability framework. And I don't mean to criticize Keith on this, you know, who's being helpful in this meeting. but basically it's not for them to tell us where an issue belongs. And I really find us with a funny dichotomy that sort of says, in one thing, I think for any issue, we need to be able to answer the question, would this be necessary even if IANA wasn't an issue? Is a question we should be able to answer affirmatively. In other words, even if there was no IANA, you know, is this an accountability issue that ICANN needs to deal with? But since part of this is we have to admit that NTIA leaving, and that's all related to the IANA issue, but it's also related to the AOC issue, which is kind of uncertain to the extent with which NTIA, once it no longer has the IANA responsibility, has the same AOC type of role or weight that it had before IANA left. So we're in that contradiction that this should be important. Pardon me, I'm stumbling over my words. This should be important even if IANA wasn't an issue, but it's due to IANA and NTIA that this is an incredibly pressing issue at the moment. And so keeping that distinguished, admitting that what makes it stream one or stream two is the pressing nature of NTIA, you know, no longer being in the role it's in now vis-a-vis IANA, but still, you know, but still it needs to be done before that happens. And so keeping that narrow difference, I don't know if I made myself clear, but keeping that narrow distinction in mind that, yes, we understand it needs to be done as part of Stream 1 because it needs to be done so that we can trust ICANN before NTIA, you know, gives up stewardship, but B, you know, it's necessary even if IANA wasn't an issue. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. David?
Yeah, later on in the document, I attempted to clarify the point that I made before about pre-transition and post-transition focus rather than IANA, non-IANA. And what I've tried to establish, I think I'm saying the same thing as Avery, and I'm not sure that I fully understood what Athena was saying, but basically what I say is that we need to have accountability mechanisms across all of ICANN's functions that ensure accountability, robust accountability to the community prior to transition. And that should be the focus of Workstream 1. It might help to bring that into this context because I think we're talking more in the abstract now, and it might be helpful to clarify what, you know, provide a proposal for what Workstream 1 should be focused on.
Thanks, David. Mathieu?
Sorry, I was on mute. I think we have a healthy debate here on some key topics. What I would like to suggest is to go back into the document, and we're currently working on the problem statement. And usually I define problem statement as not only the context, but also the difference between the current situation and the target situation. And I think we probably need to reinforce in this part the point that was made by Avery, which I fully support, that we have an urgency situation because there is a transition. And this is a very strong element in the problem statement. And we also have to probably develop why there is a gap between what makes us think that there is a gap between the target situation and the current situation. And I think that is probably expanding the sentence that currently states that the community raised the topic of the impact of the change on ICANN's accountability given its historical contractual relationship with the United States and NTIA. And probably we should add that these comments reveal that there is currently a gap between the current accountability mechanisms and the expected accountability mechanisms that the community would feel appropriate to proceed with the transition. And this is our problem statement. I would expand on this. I'm willing to try and draft something later on this, that we have a gap, which is mostly maybe it's expressed through the public comments and the concerns that were raised in the public comments regarding accountability. And it is this gap we need to close. And one part of this gap has to be closed before the transition. That's probably work stream one. And one side can probably be taken on a longer time scale. And I think this is really what we need to address in the problem statement, what we want to achieve, what the current gap is, and then in the goal section, which is currently not in the document that we almost have on our screens, we can probably expand on what we want to achieve through this and on the different sides. So to recap, I would expand on the problem statement, the fact that there is an urgency, which is a transition, and that we have a gap in the basically in the trust of stakeholders into the current accountability mechanisms. So this current situation is not deemed felt sufficient yet to proceed with the transition.
Thanks, Mathieu. I think you summed that up quite nicely. Is that something that the group would subscribe to? I saw some support in the chat, but I'd like to test whether there's any objection or whether there are any concerns with this approach. And if not, I think we would thankfully accept your offer to draft a little bit of language surrounding that.
Okay.
I would like to go back to David, though. David, you've inserted some language in the scope section, which I referred to earlier during this call, where you said the scope of Workstream 1 is to ensure that the whole of ICANN, across all its functions, remains accountable to the community in the absence of the historical relationship with the U.S. government. I'm wondering whether this is broader than what's been suggested by Mathieu. And I open that up to the whole group.
I do think it's worth...
No, who's that?
This is Becky. I was going to comment on Matthew's comment, which I support. I think it would be good to have a statement about the gap.
Thanks, Becky. Mathieu, I'm not sure whether that's an old hand or a new hand.
Old one.
Thank you. Keith.
So thank you, Thomas. Keith Drazik. I support, and thank Mathieu for his offer to draft some language. I think we'll need to look at the details of the language carefully, but I think addressing the gap, I think, is a reasonable approach. But I also think that David's suggestion, that this really is about ICANN's accountability to the community as a whole, is, I think, also a worthwhile concept, and I think something that probably ought to be included. And if those two statements or positions are not reconcilable, then I think we need to look at that more closely. But I guess I'm supporting Matthew's suggestion, but also supporting David's language in that, this is not about any one specific component to ICANN's accountability. It is about ICANN's accountability as a whole to the community, the community that gives ICANN its legitimacy. So I guess I'm not seeing that there's necessarily a conflict between the two, but maybe we need to talk about that a little further.
And I'd like to keep up that momentum, because Keith, in your comment, you mentioned accountability of the community, and I don't disagree, but I'm still uncertain whether the scope would be broader if this covers all of ICANN's functions. You know, we've discussed that Workstream 1 would be related to things required pre-transition, but not all of ICANN's functions affect the transition as such. So I'm not sure. Maybe it's just me. So I'd like to hear from the group. But I think there might be an inconsistency if we limit Workstream 1 to the pre-transition, not to mention the IANA functions, although we have to bear them in the back of our minds, I think, and then open it up again to all functions. You know, and that sort of leads back to the original question, whether we want to define accountability further. And it was my understanding that the group did not want to spell out to whom accountability should be made, you know, i.e. not to further define the niceties of accountability, but with this sentence, I think we're doing exactly that. So with that, I'd like to move to the next in the queue, which is Tijani, please.
Thank you. It's not broader in my understanding, because it says in the absence of the historical, etc. If you want, we can change in the absence by related to the absence. This would make it more clear, but I don't see any contradiction between this language and Mathieu's proposal. Thank you.
Thanks, Tijani. Mathieu?
Yeah, I think there's in this discussion, this one point, which is which are the stakeholders we want to improve accountability to. And my understanding is that we want to be as broad as possible. And probably a good wording for that is all affected stakeholders or all affected parties, or because it may be broader than ICANN participants, or at least ICANN direct participants, and I don't think we should restrict too much. But and on the other hand, we might not be able to specify what kind of accountability expectations the different stakeholders have, and therefore we should remain quite general on that aspect. That is my suggestion. And secondly, regarding the question about the ICANN functions we are looking at in the process, I don't think we should restrict them yet. I don't have the feeling that there is any kind of clear direction on that topic in the public comments that were run by ICANN since May on the accountability topic, and therefore we should certainly leave to the CCWG the decision to investigate on certain functions or not. But our scope is wide, and we should keep it like this in the drafting team. That is my suggestion.
So, just to be clear, Mathieu, you're saying that you would keep the wording that all ICANN's functions should be covered, or would you leave that open?
I would leave that open. The ICANN functions that some ICANN functions may not be covered by the CCWG work, and that would not, in my opinion, be a scoping problem. As long as the group really works on improving accountability to a level that is acceptable to all stakeholders.
And you would keep that for Workstream 1? Just want to be clear about that, because the way I read, and again, it may only be me, I think the first sentence under Workstream 1 in the scope section with the amended language is a catch-all that would allow for each and every accountability question to be dealt with under Workstream 1.
My point earlier was that I think Workstream 1 should be rather pre changes that have to occur pre-transition and work stream two, what can be dealt with after the transition.
Thanks, Mathieu. Dave
doesn't specify functions.
Okay. So you would support taking that out, I understand. Next one is David, please.
Yes, I guess when I'm referencing pre-transition and post-transition, I think we have to think about the role that the U.S. government's, the legacy role that the U.S. government has had over IANA, the IANA function, has actually has performed an accountability function across all of ICANN. And we, pre-transition, I think we need to replicate that role, which again goes well beyond just the IANA functions, and I think included all of the functions, because the U.S. government could have ultimately revoked the IANA contract, and that was a de facto accountability mechanism that the U.S. government had over ICANN. And that's what I think that's where I think this CCWG needs to focus on. How do you replicate that generic accountability function that the U.S. government had as a result of the IANA contract, but well beyond the IANA functions? That's why I incorporated that language.
Thanks for that clarification. The way I understood Strickling, he put that in a more narrow sense related to the transition, because your suggested wording would encompass all accountability mechanisms, and then I wouldn't see that. You know, I'm just trying to understand. I wouldn't see a difference between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2 then.
Well, I think there is, because I think, sorry, it's David again. I'm jumping in. Is that okay?
Sure.
I think we're looking at, is there a sufficient, is there a sufficiently robust accountability mechanism in place that applies across all of ICANN and all of ICANN's functions, such that there can then be secondary accountability mechanisms that can be addressed in Workstream 2, but Workstream 1's proposals are sufficient enough that if ICANN does not step up to the plate and implement those second-tier ones, the accountability regime can be invoked, and ICANN would then have to deal with the second-tier accountability mechanisms.
Okay. Let's maybe step back for a second. And Tijani, I have you on the list as well as Keith, so I'll get back to you momentarily. But just this has been triggered by the IANA functions transition. And if you look at the IANA contract, you have the three elements that you do know. And for two of them, the NTIA currently has a monitoring function, and it has a supervisory or authoritative function for the third element, i.e. root zone management. And the way I understood Strickling's comment was that he wants to prevent, for example, the ICANN board from taking over the root zone and doing funny things with it, which is why I would relate, and you know, maybe let's take this to a more practical level, that we would need robust reconsideration or appeal processes in case the ICANN board, which makes the decisions on delegations and redelegations, does something wrong and the applicant is not happy with the results. Also, I would envisage that wider accountability questions for performance of that role would need to be backed up in the absence of the U.S. government. But if you take the overall threat, let's say, of the U.S. government withdrawing its contractual relationship from ICANN, that would then be a very fundamental question for ICANN in all its aspects, and that would allow for even budget questions and other questions to be dealt with in Workstream 1. And that's one of the examples where Strickling specifically said that would belong to Workstream 2. Again, I'm not suggesting that one or the other is right. I'm just trying to get my head around what the demarcation is, and as looking at the comments that we heard and read in the chat, I think I'm not the only one struggling with that. And I think it's an important task for us to help clarify this, because that's also going to be one of the first questions, if not the first question, for the cross-community working group. And with that, I'd like to hand over to Tijani. Tijani, are you maybe on mute?
You're right, I am sorry. I was muted. So thank you, Thomas. I do agree with Dev, and I think that the scope of World Stream 1 will be about the compatibility that is necessary because of and work. The scope of the World Stream 2 is about the accountability out of this this transition. This is the difference, and I don't see that this language make it the same scope as the work seems to. Thank you.
Thanks, Tijani. Keith.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. Keith Draven. So just a few points that I've typed into chat that I will reiterate here on the calls. So I think that, you know, at the end of the day, the accountability reforms that we're talking about, the accountability topics, reforms, mechanisms, however we want to describe them, that frankly everything should be on the table for the purposes of this cross-community working group. And it will be up to the cross-community working group to decide what's needed pre-transition and what could wait. And I think that, I don't think that we as a drafting team should be trying to limit or restrict the topics that are on the table at this stage. I think really what we ought to be focusing on is identifying that there will be two work streams that the cross-community working group itself will need to address, and that there needs to be a process in place for, you know, deciding what's necessary pre-transition and what can wait. I think and it's really up to the community to decide what's in Work Stream 1 and what's in Work Stream 2. It's for us as a community to decide what we think is critical and what we think can wait. I don't think that we should be looking to NTIA or ICANN board or senior staff at this point. I think the job has been handed to us, and it's now up to us to decide where we prioritize. I think one example, though, would be for anything that's placed in Work Stream 2 by the cross-community working group, I think there needs to be a recognition that whatever reforms are implemented from Work Stream 1 will provide a path and provide the process for addressing those that are in Work Stream 2. So, for example, and we talked about the AOC on our last call, the affirmation of commitments is the agreement that's in place right now between NTIA and ICANN that binds ICANN to things like ATRT. But if the AOC were to go away at some point because NTIA is disengaging and ICANN is not required to stick to that, it's, you know, either party can walk away from it. But how do we ensure that ATRT is there for the future to be able to address things that might be placed in Workstream 2? I think that the key question there is the process moving forward for addressing anything that's placed in Workstream 2. So let me stop there. Thanks.
Thanks, Keith. David?
Keith addressed the biggest part. I was going to say, I think it's for the community and we are serving as representatives of the community to define what should be in Workstream 1 and Workstream 2. But over and above that, I actually interpreted Undersecretary Strickling's statement about accountability differently, Thomas. I thought he was saying it was not, did not have to be linked to the IANA functions. But in any case, I still think it's for the community to determine that what should be in the two work streams.
Thanks, David. Mathieu?
Yes, thank you. I was trying on the chat to propose some rough language that would try to capture what I understand from this discussion. So the language I was suggesting was to clarify that the CCWG, and I was saying, especially in Workstream 2, but I'm open to changing this, but the CCWG may investigate accountability mechanisms regarding any of the functions provided by ICANN, as long as it finds a relationship with the transition of the role of the NTIA and U.S. government. To me, it's very important to leave leave open the possibility for the CCWG to address any accountability mechanisms. But on the other hand, I can understand that we are working under strong urgency constraints, and it's clearly the transition of the role of the U.S. government which is at the heart of the problem statement. And therefore, there needs to be some kind of relationship between the proposal from the CCWG and this transition. Otherwise, we may be putting the accountability CCWG in front of a never-ending work. Too wide a scope might actually be a trap to get lost into too many things at the same time. But that's really my personal opinion at this stage, and I'm obviously I think this is a point for discussions.
Thanks, Mathieu. Matthew?
Yes, thanks, Thomas. Matthew Scher, CDC. I'm just looking back at what Larry Strickling said at the Media Institute in D.C.
Can you, excuse me, Matthew, can you speak up a little bit? You're very hard to hear.
Yes, can you hear me better now?
That's better.
Yeah, okay, I was just saying that I was just looking back at what Larry Strickling said in his speech at the Media Institute in Washington, D.C., and I quote, he says, NTIA believes that this accountability process, which is what we're talking about now, needs to include the stress testing of solutions to safeguard against future contingencies, such as attempts to influence or take over ICANN functions that are not currently possible with the IANA functions contract in place. So the issue is, when one considers attempts to influence or take over ICANN functions that are not currently possible because of the IANA functions contract, that obviously is open to incredible interpretation and can be quite broad in terms of what actually has to go into Workstream 1 to be able to deliver on that requirement from NTIA as a part of the transition. So I think it's really important to leave these open in terms of the scope, because the scope in terms of what will sit in Workstream 1 will actually be the job of the working group itself. But I just wanted to remind everybody that when Strickling is talking about those kind of challenges, they're quite broad and can be interpreted in many different ways and can involve everything, many different parts of accountability and organizational accountability within ICANN. Thanks.
Thanks, Matthew. It was my understanding from the Los Angeles meeting where Strickling spoke that he wanted to shed some further light on exactly that question, so maybe it's worthwhile reviewing various statements that he has made. But I think that can, if need be, done at a later stage. Let me try to recap a little bit what we've discussed so far. I think there is more or less agreement that the delineation between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2 should be related to pre- and post-transition. So I think that's something that I haven't seen any opposition against. The second point is that the charter should not exclude for the working group to look at all potential accountability mechanisms there are, nor should it be limiting functions that the working group will be looking at. Please do speak up or give me a signal in the chat if that understanding is incorrect. I think we still need to work more on the exact wording, and I'd like to ask whether there are any volunteers that would look at the wording. In my view, actually, the scope wording, you know, on the one hand side, we want to keep things as flexible as possible for the working group, but I think that we're not consistent with that throughout the document. So maybe Mathieu wants to take that back and look at that before we have our next meeting, because I think we, you know, for the sake of time, I think it's important for us to also look at other sections of the charter. Matthew, you've raised your hand. Matthew, are you maybe on mute?
It's an old one, sorry.
So that was an old hand. Can I ask Mathieu to confirm whether...
What I'll do is try and in the directions you've summed up quite nicely, Thomas, try to edit the problem statement and goal first, and then go through the document to check that we're consistent also with the document with those orientations. With your permission, I would also echo one of Matthew's suggestions to identify the stress tests as one of the key deliverables for the CSIN-WG. I was also, I think it was a very valuable suggestion by Larry Strickling to mention this, and that is clearly something we need to make sure the CCWG is aware of, and because it's certainly expected by the NTIA at one point, and therefore they should not forget to deliver on this.
Thanks, Mathieu. That's very helpful. I guess it's imperative for us, since we as a drafting team set the scene for the working group's work, to make sure that there's no friction between NTIA guidance and what we have in our charter. And in order to help that, can I ask staff to collate Strickling's written or oral statements from the previous meeting so that we have an overview of what exactly he said to make sure that we don't build any friction or inconsistencies into the process. Is that okay? Can I ask Marika or Grace for a signal whether that's okay for you?
Yep, no problem.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Perfect. And ideally, you know, if you could send that to the list for everybody to read as soon as practically possible, that would be great. And Matthew is correct in stating in the chat that adding Fadi's comments would also be helpful, and I would support that, so that would be helpful as well. And Keith also said that. Good. Now, let me also get back to one of the earlier tasks, and it was my impression that concrete questions for the working group to deal with in a catalog of questions to work on without making this an exhaustive list was deemed valuable. Nonetheless, we haven't seen any such questions, and I'd very much like to encourage the group to take a look at the issues collated during the last public comment period specifically and rephrase those issues into questions. Keith, I think you gave the example of the AOC again and what is going to happen in case the AOC is not further in existence. So questions could be, how does the working group envisage ATRT reviews to be continued beyond the lifetime of the affirmation of commitments, or something along these lines. I think it's valuable to have such questions as a guidance, and it should be an inter alia list. I think that's the word that somebody used during the previous call, and not an exhaustive list. Before we go to the next section of the draft charter. I'd like to give Tijani and then Atina the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Thomas. We just said that we don't have to impose something to the working group as Team 1-2. We have to keep it open, and it's up to them to see what is to be done before and after. So if we said that, we cannot make a list of details of questions to be addressed. Thank you.
Thanks, Tijani. And before I go to Atina, would anybody from the group like to respond to that? So if not, then let me try to give an answer. Tijani, I think we had a lengthy debate about this question during the last call, and it was felt by the vast majority of the participants that questions phrased in a non-exhaustive fashion that would not limit the working group from looking at other questions would be a valuable help for the working group to structure its work. The hesitation or the reluctance of drafting team members to allocate specific areas of concern to either Workstream 1 or Workstream 2 is a different one. And it's my understanding, observing the group's discussions, that yes, the group should come up with a list of issues the working group should consider, but no, the working group should not prescribe as to whether these items should fall into Workstream 1, Workstream 2, or both. So I'd like to get feedback from the group, or at least opposition, if my response to Tijani's question is a misrepresentation of the drafting team's views. So please make yourself heard, or type in the chat if you think that I have misstated the drafting team's view on this. I see some support from Mathieu. I don't see opposition, so I do hope that I've accurately reflected the group's view. And with that, I'd like to move to the next area of the document, and that would be deliverables, timeframes, and reporting. And Avery, you've been patiently waiting for us to hear your notes that you made when you were on the plane.
Okay, thanks. This is Avery speaking. And in fact, I went beyond those notes while this discussion was going on and actually sent a edited copy of the charter we're looking at with those notes cut into it. So I don't know if you guys got it yet because I just got out. But I can tell you, basically, so under the heading of the work plan should include at least the following action items. I didn't touch the paragraph above. The first thing, and I've been thinking in terms of, you know, this undifferentiated Stream 1 and Stream 2 being a phase zero of the working group's process. I didn't call it here, but I could see now that what I wrote goes to that. So the first bullet I put on there was a definite, and something we've been talking about, a definition description of what differentiates a Stream 1 from a Stream 2 issue, then review the guidelines given in the charter. So while we've been talking, you know, I'm assuming that some of that becomes guidelines in the charter, and we'll say things like, you know, the pre-transition, post-transition, et cetera, the issues that we've been talking about. Well, they would need to review that and make sure that it made sense to them and amplify it, you know. And one of the bullets under that is now that NTIA, oh, I put NITA, but anyway, is no longer a backstop, what replaces it? Then the second bullet I put in was the review, and I modified what was there, review of the existing accountability mechanisms with sub-bullets, you know, review of the issues brought up by the ATRT 2 report, and the next line should have been a bullet on itself, you know, the a sub-bullet, structures expert panel, the ASEP, was a basis for the discussion. So there's already been work been done. Let's look at that work and make sure that we understand it and see how it's involved. You know, and that includes reviewing their 2002 report of accountability. Then it's operation and viability of current reconsideration process, operation and viability of the CEP, the cooperative engagement process. You know, I really should have a bullet under that I forgot to put in, which is the review the IRP, the independent review panel criteria, IRP criteria for, you know, viability. In other words, you know, they've been changing, they've gotten harder. Does the IRP describe an accessible review mechanism? And if not, what's wrong with it? What needs to be fixed? You know, then the question that we caught up, is the AOC sufficiently at the IANA pressure point? And which of these is a stream one and which of these is a stream two work item? So all that I basically see as being in the phase zero of this thing. And it's basically review of the current situation. And I'm sure that there's more bullets, more sub-bullets, and more sub-sub-bullets that we can put in. Then there's, you know, once we've done that review of the possible solutions, and maybe this is phase zero, maybe that's not, input received in relation to solutions that we've already gotten as part of the comment period here, then input received in, you know, CWG accountability comment periods, assuming that while we're doing all this first work and doing the review, we may actually want to put that out for, you know, comment while we're going on, or perhaps just, you know, do what any working group does at the beginning is put out a set of questions that we get comments on. And then basically there's, you know, the big undefined bullets is solutions for stream one, solutions for stream two, and I'm assuming that, you know, this is going to be an ongoing process and we shouldn't assume that we're going to solve everything. There may be, you know, further work that needs to be done if any issues. I can see us during the process of both of these streams. During stream one, I can see us parking sub-issues for stream two, and during stream two, I could see us parking issues for future work. So that's sort of the initial breakdown that I came up with while I was thinking about this that I never got around to writing down. So now they're written down, but I've already edited them while I was talking.
Thanks, Avery. Is there any instant feedback to Avery's suggestion?
This is Mathieu speaking.
Mathieu, I think you were a little bit faster than Marika, so far away.
Oh, no, but okay. Basically supporting every structure, starting with current situations, gaps, solutions, etc. I'd like to probably suggest two additions which are related with what we've said earlier. First is when we have solutions, whatever the work stream, we will need to have deliverables in terms of stress tests, scenarios, and demonstrate that the solutions that are expected are resistant to capture or whatever threats are defined. So this is one aspect that I would elaborate on. The second one is one key moment for the CCWG will be when, after assessing the current situation, priorities will have to be defined in terms of what is necessary before the transition and what can be dealt with afterwards, or even what is going to have a huge impact on ICANN's accountability compared to what has a limited impact on accountability. And this priority phase is certainly going to be critical if the CCWG wants to meet the deadlines at some point. And I think this is something we need to draw attention to. Thank you.
Thanks, Mathieu. And while I hand over to Marika, I'd like to get more comments on Mathieu's suggestion for the edits or additions to Avery's suggestion. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note that the document we actually received from Avery seems to be the wrong attachment. So just to ask Avery if she can maybe resend it. I know some people are asking if we could see the changes, but we actually don't have them yet. But we'll definitely include them as soon as we receive them.
Thanks, Marika. Avery, do you have any instant feedback to Mathieu's additional suggestions?
This is Avery. First of all, I have no idea what I sent. Apologies. I thought I sent the right thing. But I actually added what Matthias said while he was talking, and I'm not sure I put them in the right place, but I put under which of these is a Stream 1 and which of these is a Stream 2 work item, a sub-bullet that says define priorities, and then I added stress test for each of the stream's solutions as a separate bullet. So, yeah, they make sense.
And I guess this question is for both Mathieu as well as Avery. You seem to become the deliverables experts in this group. Would you require the group to have stress tests conducted prior to the transition, or stress tests defined?
I think you'd have to have stress tests for Stream 1 priority items before.
I agree with Avery that at least for Stream 1, there seem to be a requirement, as stress tests, at least in theory, conducted. Of course, not in practice. And for Workstream 2, the requirement may be not as required, at least in the short run.
Mm-hmm. Do we... so you're saying stress tests must be conducted prior to transition.
Maybe you should elaborate what I have in mind for stress tests, because stress tests might have different meanings for different persons around the room. I think what I understand from Larry Strickling's statements was that he would look for proposals that demonstrate, at least on paper, how they would resist some threats like capture or financial crisis, a certain list of nightmare scenarios, and I think that is that is one of the deliverables expected from the CCWG, to explain what are the stresses that were found to be, that were tested, and how the various mechanisms enable ICANN to survive these stresses. I'm not sure it's clearer for you, Thomas, but that is what I expect as a deliverable. And once again, this is just it's really open for discussion, and you may have different views.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that makes it clearer. At the outset of this group, we said that we want to define a charter that increases the likelihood of success of this exercise in a timely fashion. And I was wondering whether we need some clarifying language surrounding the stress tests in order to make sure that the stress tests are designed to allow for a timely completion, because we need both the definition phase as well as the implementation thereof. And as you know, we have a very narrow or small time window or hard, an aggressive deadline that we're working against, knowing that the deadline is not a strict one. But maybe you can give this some thought. Maybe we would like to have some additional language in there, making that match with the time we have. Can I ask you, Avery, to maybe look at the language after the meeting and streamline it if need be?
Sure.
That sounded a little bit like you've been voluntold, which it shouldn't.
Well,
but
sure.
I...
No, I mean, yeah, no, I will. Sure.
And we find more volunteers for other tasks. So thanks for that. And talking about tasks, I noticed that for the drafting of a list of questions, we have not volunteered anybody. And I'd like to get back to that point before we move on. So is there anybody in the drafting team that would volunteer to draft an initial set of questions? You know, because after last meeting, we've encouraged the whole group to do that, but asking everybody to take a look at that is likely to result in nobody feeling responsible for it, and that was more or less the outcome. Keith.
Yes, thank you, Thomas. Keith Drazik. I will volunteer to try to work with the Registry Stakeholder Group Accountability Working Group to come up with a list of questions that could be posed to the broader cross-community working group, and would be happy to circulate those for wider consideration and feedback before our next call.
Thanks so much, Keith. That's much appreciated. Also, thanks to Matthew for... volunteering to look at the text as well, so that's great. And with that, unless there are further comments for the deliverables section, I'd like to move to the next item in the charter. Difficulties reading this in the Adobe. Yes, so that's better. Are there any questions or concerns surrounding the membership staffing and organization section?
This is Marika.
Marika, far away.
Thanks, Thomas. This is Marika. Just because I saw that there's a comment or a question there from Matthew asking what are the chartering organizations? Surely all SOs and ACs should appoint their own members. It is the chartering organizations. Does that not just limited to the GMSO and CCMSO? Is that correct? And just to clarify, basically the chartering organizations as defined in cross-community working groups is any supporting organization or advisory committee that adopts the charter. As said, it doesn't prevent groups that do not feel or do not want to formally adopt the charter, because of course it comes with an obligation to appoint members, and in certain cases, you know, certain groups may, for whatever reason, not want to formally appoint members, either because they don't have people available to do the work as there are many things going on, or they may just want to participate as participants, so they do have a choice not to serve as a chartering organization, but it's up to each supporting organization and an advisory committee to decide whether or not they formally want to adopt the charter. And in that case, if they do, they're expected to at least appoint, as I think we've proposed here, at least a minimum of two members and a maximum of five members to serve on the working group. And I think as we've already spoken about as well, those members as well serve a specific role in making sure that those chartering organizations are kept up to date and abreast of developments as the process proceeds. And of course, there are also specific suggestions or criteria that are suggested that such members should should have, such as, you know, expertise in the effort, time to actually commit to the activities, you know, on a long, immediate as well as long-term basis, and have a responsibility as well to solicit and communicate the views and concerns of their respective groups. So I'm hoping that that at least clarifies that question. And if that is not clear from the language here, you know, maybe there need to be some further wording or suggestions there. But I just want to share that feedback based on the comment I saw.
Thanks, Marika. Keith, I think that's an old hand, isn't it?
It is. Sorry. I'll take it down.
Not to worry. Any questions relating to this section of the draft charter? Marika?
If I may make one more suggestion, because in the first bullet we talk about having sufficient expertise to participate in the applicable subject matter. And I recall, or I think someone pointed out to me, that as part of the original call for the community working group, as it was called at the time, a number of subject matters were actually identified as, you know, kind of good to have if you want to participate in this effort. So it may be worth just linking to that as saying, you know, for example, expertise in these areas would be welcomed, just so people have an idea as they think about volunteering for this effort, what kind of expertise would be welcomed as part of this CWG's effort.
Any views from the group as to limiting or providing membership criteria or participant criteria? Hearing and reading none. Marika, maybe you can add that language from the original document into this document, and then everybody can take a final look at it.
Yeah, and as, this is Marika, and as I said, we can include the link, and as I said, it's just a for example. I wasn't suggesting that, you know, someone would be vetting whether someone actually has that expertise, but it may provide some guidance in case chartering organizations may want to do it, or at least, you know, maybe give preference to those members that can identify that they have specific expertise in those areas, just as a kind of guiding document.
Okay, thank you. Now, unless there are further comments on this, we can move to the group formation dependencies and dissolution. I think that's an easy one, so I don't plan to dwell on that any further. Working relationship with the CCWG to develop an INR stewardship transition proposal on naming and related functions, naming related functions. Any comments on that section? Actually, I was wondering whether we should put some language in here which specifically tasks the co-chairs of this working group to reach out to the other co-chairs of the other cross-community group working group to enter into a regular change of information to make sure that they're fully in sync with their thinking as a liaison mechanism. And I'd like to hear whether people think that's a good idea. But before you provide feedback, let me go to Atina and then to Matthew.
Yes, thank you. I have a question on Marika's addition here. Why would possible coordination with the ICG and the other working groups, why should that be subject to an ICANN's board approval? Could you please elaborate on that?
Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. The approval is not related to the coordination, but on the delivery of the final proposal. Or at least if that's not what comes through here, we need to look at some different wording. What I was trying to convey is that the final proposal, as you know, the process is outlined in the, I think it's in the decision-making section, basically outlines that the final proposal, you know, would first need to be approved by the chartering organizations, and then it's submitted to the ICANN board for consideration in line with the processes that they adopted in Los Angeles. So it's just to make sure that that is understood, that any proposals coming out of this effort are not final until that whole process for final approval has been completed. So that was what I was trying to convey. That has nothing to do with, you know, the board needing to improve coordination or regular updates between the two groups. So if that is not clear, we definitely need a bit of rewording.
Thanks, Marika. Athena, please make yourself heard in case that didn't answer your question. And in the meantime, let's hear that.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Great. Matthew.
Yes, actually, it's on the same issue. I guess I stumbled over the phrasing following ICANN board approval. I think given that the role of the board in this process was quite contentious, it might actually be worthwhile spelling out what the board's role is, following on, as Marika said, from the decisions in ICANN in Los Angeles. Because I think just saying following board approval is not capturing the way that it actually was described at the end of the ICANN meeting. So perhaps, given that its importance, we could spell it out more fully. Thanks.
Thanks, Matthew. I think the easiest way to do that is just to link to the board resolution once it's being published, which I think is not the case at the moment. Grace?
Hi. Actually, I was just going to say I have the link to the board resolution, and I can put that into the chat if that makes things easier, and we can also put it into the document if you would like.
Grace, I think that's an excellent idea, and I'm not sure who's holding the pen on the draft, but it may be worthwhile for either you or Marika to add one or two sentences about the board's role and then add a link to the board resolution to take out the sensitivities here about the board's role. Matthew, I think that's a new hand, right?
Which Matthew are you speaking to?
Matthew Shears, is that a new hand? No, it's not. Matthew.
Okay. I must admit I have some troubles really getting clarity with how this particular section is currently written. There's the ICANN board approval section. But also, I'm unsure whether we should restrict, as we are, to Workstream 1, the different coordinations upfront. I'm not sure we can go through this right now, and maybe that's a topic we can leave for between meetings. But I'd like to review this section. My first reading is I feel a little bit confused, and therefore I think we need to there's some clarity improvement to try and achieve on this section right now. It's
thank you.
Technical.
Sorry, say that again.
My meaning was that it's written in a way that is a little bit too detailed in process, with too many acronyms, and therefore I'm getting a bit lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a warning signal to me that maybe we can get by stepping back and trying to actually think what do we want to achieve. We may be able to improve this section. The key question to me was: do we really want to focus coordination with the ICG on Workstream 1, or are there, and my personal feeling would be that there would be value in coordinating also on Workstream 2 and on the discussion about Workstream 1 and Workstream 2.
Yeah, let me open that up to the group. It's my understanding that ICG will have dissolved by the time we get to Workstream 2, but that might be a misunderstanding. Marika, you had your hand raised.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think in this context, it may also be worth to look at the section that is in the first the paragraph that's in the first section of the draft charter, which also talks about the relationship to the CWG to develop an IANA stewardship transition proposal. This original section was only focused on the relationship with the ICG, but I think Matthew has suggested broadening that, but in that sense, I think it makes sense and to see if those two sections that now both deal with the CWG on the IANA stewardship transition proposal, if they should better be merged and not having it in two different places. In relation to the reference to Workstream 1, again, I think that basically comes from at least the assumption that Workstream 1 is specifically focused on pre-transition, and that once transition is done, indeed, the ICG ceases to exist, and there may not be a reason to share with them further work in that regard. But if the group feels that there's a need to allow for some flexibility there, you could consider making it, particularly in relation to Workstream 1, to really make clear that that is the main focus or the main link with the ICG, and the second stream as a post-transition, there may not be that direct link, at least to the ICG's work, and they may not even be in existence as a group as such.
Okay, so Marika, can you please update this section based on the discussion that we had?
Sure, and are people happy then if I try to combine the two, or do you think there should be two different sections, one that talks about the working relationship with the CWG, and one section that specifically talks to the working relationship with the ICG? And what is the group's preference, to have that clearly separate, or should they be part of the same section as is suggested, I think, here?
Well, let's go with the first. With the second suggestion first, i.e. just refining what's already there. So is there any opposition to Marika just working on the draft as it is? So Marika, I think you're good to go with that version. Keith.
Yes, thank you, Thomas. Keith Grazik. So just want to make sure that I'm following the discussion properly or accurately. There was envisaged when we were dealing with the original structure proposed by ICANN, where there would be a community working group and a coordinating group, that the coordinating group would have a liaison mechanism with the ICG. Now that we have, in a sense, scrapped the original sort of two-tiered proposed process and simply have a cross-community working group, I expect that we will still have a liaison mechanism with the ICG, and I think that's fine. I think that's appropriate. But to the extent that we as a, or the cross-community working group on accountability needs to coordinate with another group, it's probably the community working group on IANA transition, not the ICG. So, I mean, the ICG as a group is simply looking to the various communities to make recommendations that are developed in a bottom-up and consensus way. The ICG is really just a facilitating or coordinating body based on the community input. So if we want to have a coordination role between any group and our ICANN, the accountability cross-community working group, it really ought to be with the CWG on IANA transition. Thanks.
Thanks, Keith. Any further comments on that? Okay, so Marika will provide an updated draft for that section. And there was support from Tijani in the chat. Let's then move to the expert advisors section. As you will remember, we've agreed that I should ask Brian Cute to provide a little bit of information about the PEG. Unfortunately, he's on a plane at this very moment. He tried to get a network connection to join in the Adobe, but obviously that didn't work. So my question to you is twofold. Number one, since the latest edits that have been made based on comments that came in from Mathieu, are you happy or do you have questions surrounding the language on expert advisors? And secondly, are you still in favor of inviting Brian Cute to inform us about the PEG's work, and should we invite him for the next meeting? Mathieu.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I think the edits provided by Marika really capture very much what my comment was about. I am happy and satisfied with those comments. My only question was about the initial sentence, the one in yellow. I'm not a native English speaker, so I'm not sure what exactly the over and above the community. Let me find it. It's not on the screen anymore. But there was an addition that was over and above the input from the ICANN community. And I was wondering, the over and above input from the community, the CCWG is expecting to solicit and consider the input. I'm not really sure what the meaning is of over and above, and whether that would imply that advisors' opinions are valued more than community inputs, which I think would be probably not compatible with the bottom-up community-driven process. But that's just the wording at the yellow sentence.
Thanks, Mathieu. David, I think you have provided that suggestion. Would you like to respond to this? And then we move to Atina.
Yeah, I just simply thought that we should just make clear that, of course, the CCWG will be taking input from the community.
Okay, so that's probably just my literal reading of English that created this confusion. Thank you.
Yep.
So I would then deem that issue resolved, and unless there are further concerns. So let's move to Athena.
Yes, thank you. I would like to make sure that we are on the same page. From my perspective, the participation of expert advisors should not really be a requirement. If the group feels the need to have some experts on a particular subject, they should indeed ask for that. But this should not be a must from my point of view. Also, any input from this expert advisor should not be binding, and of course they should not have a say on the final outcome of this group. But I think this is already in the text. Thank you.
Thanks, Atina. Are you okay, or would you agree to go through the draft after this call and to see whether your concerns are already addressed in there, and let us know if we need to make more explicit that the advisors don't have a decision-making role in this?
I think I'm. I can read it this way. It's more the first bit. I'm not sure we have the same opinion on.
Okay, so then let's please make this a task for specifically the native speakers, which I'm not, to ensure that the language is sufficiently explicit that the experts don't have a binding mandate whatsoever in this exercise.
I'm sorry, just to clarify, I was more talking about the fact that experts should not be a requirement, the participation of experts. It can, we can have, the group
can use experts if they feel they need to have experts, and it should not be enough. That would be interesting.
Thanks for that clarification, Athena. Next is Matthew.
Yes, I just had a question which I put in there in the highlighted second paragraph. I'm afraid that I just can't remember whether or not there was a decision to allow additional experts or whether that's something new that we are suggesting. So that was my question. I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I was just wondering where that second paragraph came from.
Marika, I think you're... you volunteer to answer that question?
This is Marika. So I think this basically translates into what Mathieu was suggesting, and I think which is also kind of standard practice in most working groups, that of course there's always the ability for a group to identify if additional experts or advisors are needed and should be invited to participate. But I think this specifically goes to one of the suggestions that was made by Mathieu.
Okay, thank you. Next in line is Keith.
Yes, thank you, Thomas. Keith Drazik. So I just wanted to respond to Athena's comment about the expert advisors and maybe just provide a little bit of context or background. So again, if we go back to ICANN's original proposal from early August with the two groups, the coordinating group and the community working group, one of the things that both, in my understanding, that both NTIA and ICANN want is the external views of so-called expert advisors on accountability mechanisms or accountability processes. And so, through various interactions, it began that the advisors would be selected by the Board Governance Committee and would have a role in determining consensus recommendations. Over the course of a couple of months, we were successful in pushing back and saying that we welcome the involvement of advisors, expert advisors, but they in no way should influence a vote or a consensus call from the community, that they should be advisory only. So I think looking ahead, this CCWG will have the involvement of the seven expert advisors as selected by the public experts group, the PEG, which is Larry Strickling, Brian Cute, Giannis Karklins, and Jeanette Hoffman. So those four people will be selecting the seven experts. So I believe that that is part of the process and that we should expect that those advisors will be part of contributing to the cross-community working group. But we shouldn't be limited to only those seven advisors. In other words, if the cross-community working group wants to call on other experts or other expert advisors for advice or recommendations, then by all means, we should be the cross-community working group should be able to do that. I hope that helps. Thanks.
Thanks, Keith. Avery.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with anything that's said. I think it's important, though, to indicate that those advisors would be treated as full participants, albeit not members, that we're using that kind of differentiation, that, they have full right of arguing and participating as any other participant and or member until the last minute when it comes to consensus, because I don't think we want to give the impression that we had outside advisors, but, we didn't have to listen to them. So I think it's important to indicate that they are full participants in the group. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Tijani?
Thank you, Thomas. Tijani speaking. I would like to remind you that the final document or the review document on accountability, let alone the constitution of this drafting team, said that the cross-community working group should consider that the advices of the experts must be reflected in their recommendation. So perhaps they will not participate in the call for consensus, but their
point of view or their advice should be reflected on the recommendations as it is mentioned in the document. Thank you.
Thanks, Tijani. I'm afraid we have to end this conversation now. It's 2 minutes to the top of the hour. Staff will review the suggestions that have been made and provide an updated draft. I think the last item that I'd like to discuss is the next meeting, and it, if possible, we should have a meeting on Thursday. And Steph, can you, Marika or Grace, can you remind me or Bart of the time that we had envisaged for that? That would be Thursday at 13 o'clock UTC. Is that okay for the group, or are there issues with that date? I think we should try to...
Apologies. Is that this Thursday? This is David. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Since we're working towards the 3rd of November as a delivery date, I think we should have a second call this week.
Yeah, I agree. But unfortunately, please proceed. But unfortunately, I have a meeting outside of the office all day.
Okay. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. As we're working on a really tight timeline, if you know, can maybe just remind everyone as well, to really make sure to check as well with their respective groups to make sure that, you know, by the time we get to the deadline, people have had a chance to look at this and have provided inputs as part of this process, because we don't really want to be in a situation where as the charter goes up to the different groups that then changes are being made, which would mean that everything would need to come back to this group and send up back again to all the different chartering organizations for approval as we, you know, as only one version of the charter can, of course, be adopted by all the groups.
Thanks, Marika. And I would suggest we keep that time and that date. Those who can't make it, please do make yourself heard on the mailing list. I'd like to thank all of you for this vivid discussion, which has been very fruitful. Next meeting is going to be truly co-chaired by Mathieu and myself. This time we've agreed that I would do this chairing role primarily, but Mathieu has done an excellent job in participating in the conversation. I'd like to thank staff for its excellent support. Wish you all a great reminder of the day and looking forward to a vivid discussion on the mailing list and on Thursday. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. left. There are only one people in this conference. This call will be disconnected unless you press 88 now. This conference has exceeded the time limit for a single participant call. You will now be disconnected. Goodbye.